We've been looking at several different scriptures, several different messages this month related to things that we discussed at sports camp. The title for today is My Attitudes and Actions Matter. And we're focusing primarily on forgiveness. I obviously didn't do that skit at sports camp, but we did talk about at sports camp what forgiveness was and the need for forgiveness, the need for receiving forgiveness, the need for giving forgiveness. I'd run across this skit this week, and I thought it provided a good example as people who, particularly if you're one that comes to church fairly often, you hear that word forgiveness, and we talk about forgiveness. I think we give lip service to forgiveness. I don't know how you received the skit that you just saw, but I can tell you it was one of the more difficult things I've done in a while. Not because the skit itself was difficult, but because of, as I practiced it, as I went over it, the pain, the trappings that are there, that are so real for so many people. And I believe with all my heart, there are people in this room today, more than one, that are feeling that pain. Or else God wouldn't be having us hear the message for today. So I want us to take some time to consider the scriptures Wesley just read, particularly as they apply to our life. The first thing I want to talk about is the fact that you will be mistreated. A lot of times we think that we should be above being mistreated, that it's not fair, that somebody has something out for us. If I were to go around and truly get a genuine response, there's not a person in here who would honestly be able to say, I don't think, that there wasn't a time in their life that someone didn't mistreat them. I don't want us to harp on that. God doesn't want us to harp on that. Satan would love for us to spend our time, all of our time, reflecting on that. I'm not going to settle there, but I want to, just because I want you to realize that you have to at least acknowledge it in order to deal with it. I'm going to just mention a few from my past of times that I was mistreated. One that I remember, and I didn't realize until I began planning this message how much of an impact it had on me. I must have been about 5 years old, and I can still remember this. It was outside this department store, had some type of big extravaganza thing, and they were trying to draw everybody there. So they were giving away prizes, and the way they gave away the prizes is someone got on top of the roof and they threw all these paper plates out, and on the paper plates were written numbers, and once you got a paper plate, you went to the place to claim the prizes and see what the prize was you got. Being about 5 years old, I was up there, my mom and dad were there watching me. Well, a plate fell and I caught it. I got it with my own two hands. My smile was like what Dave Miller's is right now. And as I turned, some person about twice my size yanked it out of my hand and just took off running. I was devastated. My dad had a plate too, and he gave me his, but it wasn't the same. That was 45 years ago. And somehow or another, I still remember a flimsy paper plate today. Another time, I was told as a young teenager by a supervisor while I was working that I would amount to nothing in my life because I didn't even know how to talk. Then just one more. In general, there's been more than one case where people have made promises to me in my life, and I realize that they never intended to keep those promises they made to me. I have been mistreated. you've been mistreated. You take just a few minutes and think about it. You'll know some of those times, and sometimes we push them down. Sometimes we've actually dealt with them and moved on, and that would be a good thing. I thought I had dealt with that paper plate a lot more than I have. But you've been, collectively here, you've been beaten, abused, lied to, cheated, bullied, misrepresented, and attacked emotionally, physically, and spiritually. But that's not where today's message stops. You have also not just been mistreated, but you have mistreated others. And you have mistreated God. If I'm going to talk about the times that I've had wrong done to me, I have to follow that up by admitting that I have fallen short in the way I treat others. There's been times, one in particular that I don't have any desire to go into the details of, but I deceived others who I didn't care to spend time around just to escape their company. Secondly, and this one hurts, I ignored my wife. I put her needs on a back burner, and I took her for granted. And it had a tremendous impact on her that I never really intended, but I mistreated her. And then when it comes to God, we mistreat God, I mistreat God, whenever I don't put God first place in my life. See, if we are Christians and we accept Jesus Christ as Lord of our life, and that's what it means, Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, if you want to go and read that, it talks about there what it takes to become a Christian. You believe in your heart, you confess with your lips, you acknowledge Jesus as Lord of your life. That's a promise we make when we become born again Christians. When we ask Jesus to come in our life, we say, Jesus, we want you to be Lord of our life. If we say that and yet we don't try to live it, that's a broken promise. And we don't mean, it's not intended when we say Jesus is Lord of our life that it's just Jesus is Lord of our life that minute when we're baptized in the baptismal pool. When we say Jesus is Lord of our life, it means every day, every hour, every minute, every second after that. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to live life perfectly, but it means that we understand that's our goal and that's what we're to strive for. So anytime I'm not striving for that, I'm mistreating God. So I want to think, how can I do better? Instead of looking at it negatively, how can I do better in not mistreating God? First of all, I should seek to give up habits I know do not please God. Now, if they're habits, they're not going to be easy to give up. But God loves me enough that He's going to help me do that, but He's not going to make me do that. Another thing that I do, that I should do, is trust God when it's difficult. It's one thing to say that you trust God when things are going okay. You trust God when things have worked out. But I'm wondering how many here today are having a struggle. And how much trust are you placing in God right now to be a part of that solution? That instead of trying to find the answers by yourself or Googling it, that you're actually praying fervently on your knees, whether that's physically or emotionally, whatever it is, but you are so serious about it that you're down on your knees before our God saying, God, I'm trusting you and I know that you will provide. The third thing is following through with what I know God wants me to do. Maybe the struggle isn't your issue. Maybe it's right now that you're just wondering what the purpose is in your life, I promise you there's not a person in this room who doesn't have a specific purpose God has intended for you. Now, sometimes in our humanness, we want that laid out in a plan that we know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow and 5 years from now and 10 years from now, so we can make sure we have all our ducks in a row and we can control everything and we can plan our schedules the way we want them to be. That's not typically how God works. God's much more the one step at a time type of God. So as we seek to have a relationship with God, and making God Lord of our life means a daily relationship, means coming to God every day and starting the day off by saying, God, I love you and I want to be the person you want me to be today. And trusting that, first of all, God will show you, because He will, but then that you will see and follow in taking the steps one at a time that God wants you to take that day and the next, and embracing wherever those steps may lead. You will be mistreated. You have mistreated others and God. Thirdly, you have been forgiven. I want you to look back at the scripture, Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Luke 23, 34. And this, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Then it continues by saying they divided up his clothes and casted lots. Do you realize that this is the only prayer ever prayed by Jesus that wasn't answered? Because you see, God doesn't force this to happen. And by wasn't answered, I mean it can't be answered unless that person chooses. Yes, it was answered in the sense that God heard Jesus' prayer. And God wanted the people there to understand. But when Jesus prayed that prayer, it was a prayer not only for the people that had placed him on the cross there physically, but also a prayer for us, because Jesus died paying the price for our sins as well. Jesus yearns for us to be forgiven, but that request that Jesus made isn't going to be forced on us. We have to choose it. We have to choose forgiveness. Jesus loves you. Jesus wants you to be free of your sins. If you have sin in your life that you're not working through, that you're not acknowledging, that you're not trying to turn over to God, it is robbing you of joy. God desires for each and every one of us to live with a joy in our soul that surpasses whatever the circumstances are that are around us. John 3:16 and 17. I want to turn to that. We know it by heart, but I want to read it. John 3:16 and 17. For God so loved the world, that means everyone, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. This is how you receive forgiveness. This is how your sins are paid for. You can't earn forgiveness. It's a gift you must receive through the relationship with Jesus Christ. And even often people that seem to understand Scripture and could repeat this verse over and over again, still spend time because Satan has tricked them into thinking that they've got to earn their forgiveness. And it can never be done. Only God can provide forgiveness on that level through His Son, Jesus Christ. And this leads us to what I really want us to be able to pay attention to in terms of our title today is My Attitudes and Actions Matter. And we've gotten now to the final point, which is you must forgive. We've seen that we will be mistreated. We've mistreated others in God. We have been forgiven. Now we must forgive. The Scripture that we read, that Wesley read, Jesus commands it. He said, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you have a grievance against someone. Forgive as God gave you. But you know, and I realized it even more as I sat there and tried to get into the character of the skit that I had. If you don't forgive people who have hurt you, it will literally consume you. And if you're there, you know what that feeling is like right now, and it is a horrible one. There was a quote that I read this week as well that says this, not forgiving is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. We think that we're doing something because we're so angry and we have that inside of us, but Scripture tells us over and over again that that's not what God wants. And yes, God wants us to be able to acknowledge the mistakes others have made and be able to forgive them so that the relationships can be mended and they can move on. But I'm telling you, if you hold on to it and you feel you're justified in it, and maybe you are because of the way you've been treated, it's going to be as though those ropes are around you and they do nothing but get tighter and tighter. So, how do you forgive? This is where that whole thing with attitudes and actions matter come in. I kind of set you up for this. We all need forgiveness. We all need to be forgiven. Here's where the actions and attitudes come in. If you want to turn back to the Scripture, Colossians 3:13, I want us to look at the verse before and after it as well. I'm going to read that. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourself with, these are the things we're to clothe ourselves with, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You see where the attitudes and actions come in? As believers, this is where we're supposed to attempt to reside. We're to see that that is where we belong, not where the person was that was on that stool. I'll read verse 12 again. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And then bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you, because He did. And then verse 14 brings it all together. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We live in a world where perfect unity doesn't really seem to exist anywhere. We spent 3 full days in a sports camp, really loving on, caring for, teaching sports skills to 3rd through 6th grade. But one of the things that I truly believe almost every one of them left there knowing was that this on the ball that they received represents light. And that light comes as a result of forgiveness for our sins. And at the age they are, they probably don't have, I hope they don't have, a lot of the detrimental experiences that a lot of us have of where they need forgiveness on that level. But they came to understand what forgiveness was. They understood that forgiveness is related to their relationship with God. They also understand that as they're forgiven, they're supposed to forgive others. How much is that a part of your life right now? If you have a relationship with God, if He is your Lord and Savior, are you living out what forgiveness is all about? Have you truly given yourself enough to God that He's been able to forgive and bring light and create a clean slate that you don't have to go back to again over and over again? And as God has done that, does it truly free you up to be able to forgive those who have mistreated you? That's God's desire for you today. I'm going to ask our musicians to come, and we're going to have a time of invitation. And as we do every week, I promise you, if you're open to it, God is speaking to you right now, and there's something He wants you to hear. There's something that, there's a step He wants you to take. It may be big, it may be small. It may be acknowledging Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior because you've come to realize you can't experience or give true forgiveness without it. Maybe you've been going through the motions. You've done what you needed to have Jesus as a part of your life by the book, so to speak, but it's not in your heart. And you need to get real with God in that way. Or maybe you've gotten real and now there's that specific thing that you really need to focus on in terms of having been mistreated or mistreating someone else or acknowledging forgiveness or forgiving others. But God didn't bring you here today just to rest on a pew. He has a message for you. And it's my prayer that we will respond as He would lead, one step at a time. Let's stand together and sing hymn number 559.